The Sunday Morning Linux Review, starring Mary Talman, Tony Venus, and Matt Anders as the Beaver.
This is Tony Venus.
And Mary Tomich. That space there was from where Matt would normally speak. And as I was realizing, oh, you know, I better say my name because Matt has called in sick.
Yeah.
So he's at work, but he is not feeling well. So he's going to go home and get better. So, Tony, it's up to you and me.
That's right.
And what is our episode?
Our episode is bots. I don't know.
We just talked about it, but I know you're busy over there. It's episode
122.
Yeah, there you go. And it's happy birthday, TRS-80 Model 100, because 31 years ago to this very day, the TRS-80 Model 100 was introduced by Radio Shack. So, anyway, that's a little notable thing for any of you who were around then and know about it. I was around then, but the importance of it was lost on me at that point in time because I was not into computers at that point.
Oh, you weren't.
Well, not to the point where I would own one.
So. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I'm going to put
it
in the show
notes. But anyway, so. All right, well, you're doing that. I'll talk a little bit about what went on with me the last couple of weeks. You recall in the last show I had mentioned that I had a new Asus notebook, and of course, I had ordered it off, I think it was buy.com, and it came with a 320 gig hard drive and Ubuntu. Well,
that's cool.
I can't remember if I told you guys that that it was it's UEFI.
Oh, yeah?
And this is my first experience with UEFI, and it's just not a pretty thing. So I'm going to have to do a little bit of reading up on it. I suspect once I get the hang of it, because I know it's a firmware. There's some kind of firmware situation going on in it. And I'll have to deal with it. But I did manage to get Kubuntu on here finally. And what I had done is I ended up installing Synaptic. And because I like Synaptic, you know, as a package manager. And then from there, I just went ahead. Initially, I installed the Plasma desktop netbook something or other. That was a mistake.
Oh, no.
I had, it looked like it was like I was running a tablet, except there was no touch, of course, because this is not touch, enabled.
Okay, yeah.
It's mouse enabled.
So it pulled in all the KDE stuff for right?
Which is okay, but the desktop, the screen display had these big clunky things on it that I think would have looked very attractive on a tablet, but on this, when I can't reach out and touch them, and it was terrible. So I ended up then uninstalling it and then going in and just putting on the Kubuntu desktop, which pulled in all the right libraries and everything, and I had a pretty good working system. Well, then there's part two to this. It's a long-term support version, so it's 12.04. So it's a couple of KDE versions behind, and I thought, you know, I'm going to fix that.
No, no.
So, exactly. You know what to say when I say something like that. So I went ahead and changed. I had to go into the configuration and just change the option for the updates and not to prompt for long-term support one, but to go for regular. So this happened last night, okay? I was getting kind of late, and I know I have to go to bed, and I thought, well, I'm just going to get this done. So it started grinding through it, and it kept getting later and later, and I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to go to bed and get up this morning early at 3:30 and wrap it up. So anyway, I went to bed and I get up and it's still upgrading.
Oh no!
At 74%, and it was stayed there, so I knew that
it hung on something. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just pulled the plug on that and I thought, okay, on a lark, I'm just going to reboot and see what happens. And sure enough, it went nowhere. It went through the initial boot and then the rest of the startup was messed up. So to make a long story short, which is impossible at this point, I ended up recovering because nicely enough, there's a little recovery partition that just puts the stock Ubuntu back on.
Okay.
I went back to that, and then I just simply installed the KDE desktop, and then did one upgrade, and I'm good to go. Yeah. Or no, I didn't do any upgrade, any kind of distribution upgrade. I'm staying on 1204 until 2 weeks from now,
yeah.
when I can go to 1404.
Yeah, as you say, you're
and then
to
from
long,
there, I'll then. Unpin it from being tied to only long-term support.
Oh, okay.
Because, see, I had, there were, I think, 1204, 1210, 1304. There were a whole bunch of releases in between.
Right.
So I decided to do it that way. So I think in the long term, that's going to be good.
I agree. I think you'll be good.
Yeah, yeah. And then the only other thing that happened to me is I went to the Marche de Nain Rouge, which is the Red Dwarf Parade.
Yeah, I saw you took some pictures.
Oh, yeah, when the other guy in the kind of the inflatable ballerina suit.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh, yeah, it was hilarious. So I thought, oh, that would be good on Google Plus.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, but that's those are kind of my 2 weeks. How about you?
I've been working on our IRC channel, and I've got a...
We've hired Nancy.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, Nancy's in there now. She's helping out. Nancy is a bot that goes through and, you know, what bots do. It's based on, or this one's called Jenny. If you download Jenny and you run it from another computer, it'll log into our IRC channel. And
and you change your
name to
Nancy?
There's a little bit of configuration. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little bit of configuration you have to put in there, but you have to change it to something. And on your comments last week, I wasn't going to call it the SMLR bot. I decided to call it Nancy SMLR.
Yeah, I think that...
She responds with a lot of commands. You know, if you do W dot and then the zip code, it'll give you the weather for that zip code. If you do dot T, it'll give you the current time.
Well, if you do that, what do you have to preface it. I can't just put in dot W.
Yeah, you can.
Really? Hang on a second. I'm going to do it right now.
See, dot T will give you time. Dot W will give you weather. But then you have to put the zip code where
Okay. All right, so I'm going dot W and then 48221, which is my zip code.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking. Oh, overcast. The temperature is 35.6 degrees Fahrenheit, 2 degrees Celsius. Well, that's pretty good.
And then you can...
Nancy slapped Mary Kay.
Yeah, you can do insults.
Oh, really? That's funny. So I'm going to be insulted here?
Yeah.
She's thinking? Sure.
But there's all sorts of things. Yeah. You can insult her and she'll insult you back.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Tell her thanks and she'll thank you back. And it's they added a lot of AI into it, so it's pretty interesting. You can ask her a question and... like a yes and no
question. Can anybody that's in the chat do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are a few admin commands
have
to be owner, so only I can run it.
Okay.
To drop her from the channel or
admin type things, but just the...
I can put a group of people together called admins, and they can do things that... Or they can tell Nancy to do things in the channel that only admins can do.
All right.
Like kick people off and other things like that.
Oh, okay. Well, they'll kick us out.
Right.
Not yet, anyway. Okay, well, that's good. What else? Anything else?
I wrote a script because there's the thing called NetSplits. I mentioned it a little bit last show that whenever there's a time difference, I looked into why it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Your channel lives on multiple servers for Freenode. It's just a bunch of servers. And a NetSplit is when the time gets off between two servers, and then there's like a tear. I mean, it splits. And then when
a
the time
tear
is
in
off...
the space-time continuum.
That's right. When the time is off, then it kills off one of those channels.
Okay.
Now, if the bot happens to be in that channel, it gets killed off.
Mm-hmm.
It gets dropped from the channel.
Okay.
And then most bots don't recover from that. They can't just reconnect back in.
Okay.
Like our logger bot.
Mm-hmm.
We've had one for almost 2 years, but we haven't used it in the last, 6 months because it keeps on dropping.
Okay.
And
And so people were wondering about it anyway, weren't they?
No, nobody asked about it.
Oh, okay.
But what I did, I wrote a script that would log into to Freenode, check to see if the bot is logged in also.
Okay.
And then if it is, then it just stops. And if it's not, then it restarts the bot.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, that's very nice. I'm impressed.
Thanks. And then I worked with our the MDLug server admin, Carl. I worked with him, and he went through and made some updates to the IRC, or to that script.
Okay.
So my version 3, I actually have it on our website right now, and I'm going to update it soon.
Okay.
But I will put the link in the show note, or in the IRC.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a very useful tool.
Yeah, and let's see. Copy link address. Nancy also responds with information about certain URLs, if it can grab the headers from the URL and things like that. So it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Let's see, what else? I don't know. There was a couple other things. I worked with the guys from Linux Lugcast to get their bot working, too. They were using Penny. They were using Penny before. And I convinced them to switch over to Jenny.
Yeah. All right.
Well, no, it's Penny hasn't been updated in a long time.
Oh,
and
okay.
Jenny has. Okay. The last updated was a couple months ago.
I see.
Anyway, so that's what I've been doing this last week.
Well, great. That sounds good. So let's see what's coming up yet. And next.
Next is the
Matt. What's happening with the kernel?
That's right. And normally it's done by Matt, but I'm going to go ahead and stumble my way through it this morning. Actually, I won't be stumbling through it, but the latest mainline kernel is 3.14-RC8. That came out on March 25th. And the stable kernel is 3.13.7. Came out one day before then. The long-term is 3.12.15. These all really came out this week. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's just it's ongoing and constant updates. So. And then moving down the line there, they've got another long-term 3.2.55, which had its last update last month. And then the really long-term old kernel, 2.6.32.61, that hasn't had an update since last June. So those are the kernel versions and when they were released. I know I didn't do it nearly as nicely as Matt does, but hopefully people will understand.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
And I always appreciate when you have things you want to add in with.
Yeah, I do. I always go digging around and just checking into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
So.
Well, starting off this week, we're on March 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is PCBSD.
Yeah, actually, I talked about that last week because I had upgraded my system, I think, just a day or two before the show. And you remember that my comment is that this has a more recent version of KDE than my workstation at home does.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because it's got 4.12.2, and at home it's 4.11 or something. I don't know, but
yeah.
It was kind of interesting to me.
You know, with those the different versions of KDE, can you tell a difference between them? Like, is it just like a small menu change or a small update that a menu wasn't working before, or can you really see differences?
It's a little bigger. It tends to be a little bigger than that. For example, one of the releases, I don't know if it was 4.11, you could make inline name changes. For example, if you needed to rename a file, you could you would right click on it and click rename. What used to happen is a small box would pop up.
Oh.
So you could still get the job done, but you'd have another box to deal with. But with 4.11, you could then do it in line. And, you know, right now we're looking at my screen, and you can see that it just there's no different box. It's just done right on the screen there.
Right.
So so those kinds of big, you know, more major updates are included in the release. And as a matter of fact, not to digress too far off, but, you know, 4.13 is coming out in a few weeks. And one of the major things that they're going to be including in that is something called, I want to say, Articulator. And what it is it's a tool to enable you to, or enable anyone to work on pronunciation of words and other kinds of things. It's going to be part of the KDE educational package. But that's like a brand new, that's something brand new that's going to be included in 4.13. I was going to talk about it a little bit later, but it just seemed, you know, a good example to give, you know, to give you in response to your question. So.
Okay.
And the only other thing about that, this little update of PCBSD is that they also, Pulse Audio, they integrated with Pulse Audio 5.0, which I think is a little bit better than it was in the past, because I used to be a kind of a regular complainer about it.
Right.
All right. So anyway.
Let's see. Next up is what? Is TinyCore? 5.2, codename PyCore. So it's an update, 5.2.1 for PyCore, which is the Raspberry Pi port of TinyCore.
It seemed like they just had a release, well, not for the PyCore version of this, of TinyCore, but, you know, we talked about the fact that it's more of a kind of a toolkit distro for building other other distros. And they, you know, in addition to the release, they had some fixes that were included in this, including I think modules that were not found in the user local lib. So they fixed some issues with those modules, and then a few other things that were included. And by the way, too, the image comes comes with the pre-installed SSH for headless operation, and the GUI is also available if you want. So, anyway, so that's TinyCore.
All right. And next up, we have Sparky Linux 3.3, Mate, XFCE, and Base.
Mm-hmm.
So it has the four, and the base is actually OpenBox as the window manager.
Yeah, I think they combined. They did some changes there, and they also mentioned, too, and they're running, I think it may mention it there in that release, but they're running the 3.13 kernel, which probably a lot of people are. But they also go on to mention that if you're if you've got an old machine, that you use the old installer instead of the new one. And they had a backup system, and they've pulled that out of there. They're rebuilding it, and it's now available. It's still available, but it's not built into the system. It's in the repositories. So you've got to take action to bring it in and make it a part of your Sparky Linux environment.
Okay.
And the other thing, too, about Sparky Linux is, and I think we're going to start to see this now as we see these distros, you know, we start talking about these distros, is the whole UEFI situation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and I called ZaReason, I guess I'm digressing again, sorry, but I had didn't call them. I sent them an email because I was kind of curious about their laptops and that whole UEFI thing. Mm-hmm. And they don't use it. So,
Oh, really?
I can get Linux, or I actually was inquiring whether they would be able to put PCBSD on it on a laptop, and they said they could, but they explained just because of the chip, there may be there could be some challenges there, but they certainly give it a try.
Yeah, a lot of the chips that they use in there, they specifically look for ones that work well with Linux.
Yeah.
So just because it works good with Linux doesn't mean it's going to work good with BSD.
Yeah. So. So anyway, but getting back to Sparky Linux, so what they've asked for is they kind of put out a call for help, and they want to know if you can to test Sparky Linux with the installer with UEFI support, to send them your email address, and they then will send you a link to the download that image, and you can go ahead and test it out. And they also said that if you've got a spare EFI machine, either a desktop or a laptop, and you want to lend it to them for testing, they'd be very happy to get that and you know, test EFI, UEFI.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, so that's what's going on in the land of Sparky Linux.
Very nice. The next one we have on the 18th is Zentel 3.4, which is just the updated version with Ubuntu Base. And, these, it's for small and medium businesses.
Yep, it is. And you know, one thing they noted out on their site, as far as this upgrade goes, is that if you're going to be migrating from 3.3 to 3.4, they said that it's not only going to affect your Zentel, but it's also going to involve a Ubuntu-based distribution upgrade from 12.04 to 13.10. Now, they said, given the complexity of the scenario, and also to ensure no regression is experienced by users, they've therefore decided to postpone this migration process for a few weeks in order to consolidate the scenario. Because, you know, it made me kind of wonder about when, you know, Ubuntu's, especially these Ubuntu-based distros, when they're on the cusp of releasing a new LTS version, and then these guys are coming out with updates and, you know, just making sure that it all meshes together. So my thinking is they're going to wait, let that new one come out, and then we'll probably
see
that. Yeah,
that would really be the best way.
Yeah, I think so, too.
From LTS to LTS.
Yeah, I think so, too. And they won't experience what I tried to do when I...
Right.
So I'll go from LTS to LTS, then I'll unpin it and join the every release brigade.
All right. Well, next up we have Tails 0.23,
right.
Which is the Amnesic Incognito Live System, which is a security upgrade. Or they have. What am I reading? I don't know. I don't know. It's a live CD based on Debian for anonymous web browsing. You know,
they have
Tor built in, and the Tor browser, and uses Firefox and IceWeasel, and I know it's good stuff.
Yeah, and a couple of the minor improvements they mentioned in their release notes for this particular release of Tails is that that it installs now the 64-bit kernel instead of the 686-PAE one. So they said this is, and again, we're getting into that UEFI thing, they said this is a necessary first step toward UEFI boot support.
Yeah.
So we're going to start to see that now as UEFI really proliferates across laptops.
Oh, yeah. Any computer or laptop that's mm-hmm. been built in the last, I don't know, 5 years is 64-bit compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, unless you're running a really old computer, then it shouldn't be a problem to run this on for 64-bit.
Yeah, one other thing too about Tails that they've fixed, because this, you know, as is typical, they've got not only their updates, but they've got bug fixes like most distros. But they, one thing they did is apparently there was some issue with crashing when persistence was disabled. So this release also fixes that. So
all right,
I guess that's probably pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have Web Converger 24.0. Which is, this is their new stable version, because obviously a .0 version.
Mm-hmm.
It's Debian-based, primarily for web kiosks. It uses Firefox. I was actually thinking about this, using this for a like a home theater PC running, mm-hmm. and then it starts up Firefox full screen,
mm-hmm.
and then run Plex, have it go to Plex when it first comes up, which is it's a web interface.
Yeah.
And then you can just run videos and everything from it, so I still may do that. It's
Yeah, that wouldn't be that hard to set up, I don't think.
Yeah, because all you need is a web browser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I looked at that a long time ago, and then I played around with the other one, the Internet Kiosk one. I can't remember its name now off the top of my head, but I did play around with that one a little bit too, and it's pretty straightforward, easy to set up. So,
very cool.
And you know, Web Converger, they've kind of got a subscription track and then your free track. So anybody who's a paid subscriber, they're gonna be able to get that update, I think, a little easier than the others, because you're gonna download it from GitHub, and apparently they do GitHub does throttle connections. So they said they warn people on the site, on their website, that upgrading can be a long-winded process. So so if you're a paid subscriber, though, they've got, you know, you're not going to have to go through that.
All right. That's nice.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's WebConverger.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have Queasy. K-Weezy 1.5.
Queasy, yeah. I do my Queasy joke, but it's getting old, so I won't.
So it's KDE with, Debian with KDE on, as a desktop. Right? That's what it's like to me.
Yeah, that is it. And they have got one thing they've got. I don't know if they've mentioned it there or not on the on DistroWatch, but I did a little investigating, and they've got something called the Queasy connector. Is it mentioned?
Yeah,
there?
It does say it in here.
Yeah,
you can mount WebDAV and
exactly.
SFTP.
Yeah, and they also indicate on their website that auto mount is available too. A couple of other things that they've done, the KDE print manager has now been installed and it's available in system settings. So if you like using that KDE tool, it's now available in Queasy 1.5. They're using, you know, as far as Firefox and Thunderbird, they're using the ESR, the extended support release version. So that was updated, too, to the latest ESR version. And they also mention here, too, to get the desktop settings, use the, let's see here, oh, version 1.4 installations can be upgraded to 1.5 via, you know, your typical apt-get scenario. But they said that many changes and settings cannot be done through the package update, so they recommend using the profiler and restore Queasy defaults after updating. This will lose some of your customization, so do a profile backup first. So it sounds like there's a little few steps that you got to go through. I suspect they'll probably have something in place in the not-too-distant future that'll make that a little easier for people.
Yeah. Cool. Next up, we have Xantex MX14, which is a collaboration with Mepis, and this is for a 32-bit.
Yep, it is, and also included. So they've collaborated. Symbiosis. They noted there that they've collaborated with the Mepis community because NTX. I knew that it grew out of the base Mepis system, and it was just kind of a lightweight version. But they also have got Live Persistence and Remastering now is included, and also they're including UNet Bootin, so you can install the ISO to a partition or a USB drive. And they are very happy to say that it all still fits on a CD, so that's good. And not only that, they also indicated that this is a hybrid ISO now, so you can... You know, as I just mentioned, install to a USB drive, install to a hard drive. So sounds like flexibility is the name of the game for these guys.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're collaborating with Mepis again, I think, will definitely make that Antix stronger, because Mepis is a pretty solid distro. You don't hear a lot about it, but I know that Mepis has been around a long time and is one of the distros I used for quite a while before I went over to Kubuntu.
Yeah, very cool. All right, we have on the 26th, there's Legacy OS 2.1 LTS, which is a Puppy-based distro for hardware,
Oldware.
Oldware. That's about what I said.
What's in there, coffee, Tony? Come on, tough up.
But it says it works good with Pentium 3 PCs, which is old hardware.
It is old hardware. And I got to tell you, I'm thinking of, I think my next distro review is going to be Legacy OS, because, you know, I'm going to admit that iCandy catches my eye. And I went out to their site to take a look around and kind of see what else was included in this. And the desktop for Legacy OS is really pretty slick. They've got this dashboard on the right side that, and I suspect you probably can control the width of it, because if you're not on a widescreen monitor, especially if you're on an old system, it might take up a little more screen real estate than you prefer.
Right.
But it really, and you've brought it up on your screen now, it really looked pretty cool. So I thought, it's kind of like Conky in a way, because it's got, with a solid background, it's got some system monitoring applets on there. It's got one-click application icons. It's got a clock. It's got a number of things available. So I'm thinking of digging out an old computer and putting it on there and seeing how it performs.
That does look really cool.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is they had a link to a tutorial or kind of a review or just a description that just kind of walk you through the distro. And it was done by a guy from the UK. And he had a very heavy accent, which I could understand what he was saying. But at first I thought he was speaking a foreign language. And then I thought, oh, no, it is English. But then he made this, he would say this, and then Bob's your uncle. And I thought, what the heck is that? Well, as it turns out, I think it's an exclamation for, like, voila.
Yeah, and there you go.
And Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You know, the guys over at the Linux Action Show, they say that also.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, well, so does he, so.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a couple old computers around that I've wanted to get running. So I think Legacy OS may be the one I'm going to try on them, too.
Yeah, it's puppy-based, so you know the install of packages is going to be very straightforward. Excuse me, but that dashboard and that screen really look kind of cool. So
yeah,
I think if you've got, especially Windows XP people, maybe that's the way for them to go.
Yeah. Yeah, because even they should run pretty good on a... say on a Pentium 4 PC with a gig of RAM. You know, that's what most people with XP are probably running right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would be cool.
All right,
and the last one on the list we have is Musix.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Musix GNU Linux 3.0.1, which is an updated version for their Debian-based distro for musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And it has all sorts of programs that musicians will need to use, and... you know, for audio editing and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and if you take a look at it, I think it comes out of Argentina. And if you take a look at it, you'll find that it's going to boot into LXDE by default. However, you can change that and have it boot into KDE or IceWM. although the original desktop manager, desktop manager was Fluxbox and OpenBox. So, and one thing that they've included in this release, or at least is available, is OS Probe. So when you're installing it, it's going to be able to detect other systems. So that can be very helpful.
Yeah.
All right.
Very cool.
I think that's,
In the chat, there's D470CO3.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Bob's your uncle is an old Aussie or Kiwi saying.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for telling us that. But I thought it was pretty funny because he said, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. That's cool.
All right.
All right. So next up we have is news, right? Oh, no. What am I thinking? It's the top five of the week, right?
Yeah, that's right. It is a top five. See, I think you're just into the fact that it's Saturday morning and your weekend.
Saturday morning,
started,
yeah.
Right?
All right. So at
Wait a minute now. I have to do the trending up or trending down like Matt would do, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm going to do Mary's style. You know how he. You know how he kind of when we read Ubuntu.
Oh right, right.
Yeah, you know, because Matt's not a fan of Ubuntu.
All right, so we'll wait for Mary to get ready.
Yep, I'm going to have to get in there. We're going to be looking at the last 7 days, of course.
Yeah.
All right, you go ahead.
All right, at number five, we have Koizie with 1544.
And trending up.
And number four, we have OpenSUSE with 1551.
And trending down.
Number three is Debian with 1767.
And holding steady.
Yeah. Number two is Ubuntu with 2770.
And trending up.
And in the number one spot is Mint with 3658.
And trending down.
Oh.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I find it kind of interesting that OpenSUSE, did they have a development release or something? Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
13.2, that's why they popped up there, so people are going to check that out. So, all
right. That's right. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, that why are they in the list, but it's because of their development release.
Yeah, they're the elephant in the room.
Yep. You know what's interesting they use that I don't see other projects using is that milestone name along with it. So it's 13.2 milestone 0.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people would call it like RC 0, release candidate 0. Or,
okay.
Right? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
It kicked off with its initial milestone build labeled as 0. The OpenSUSE factory development. SUSE is an interesting distro. Let's see here. All right. Well, great. Now we're moving on to...
It's time for the tech news of the week.
My first news item concerns Google and Microsoft. Now, these guys, the typical perception of them is adversaries, and I think that's fairly accurate.
Yeah.
However, in Google's new cloud, cloud-based environment, which I believe is a competitor to Amazon's, AWS,
mm-hmm.
what they're doing now is they are going to be including some various Microsoft Windows virtual machines and stuff. So they're working together to make that happen.
Oh, wow.
Which I find to be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But, it just goes to show when you're, professionally, you need to get something done for your customers, and if it's a win-win situation. It kind of reminds me of a situation back when I was a project manager for this company up in Minnesota, and what we had done, I managed these litigation projects where we would code documents, and by that, we had groups of people that would record the author, the date, the recipient, and other factual bits of information about documents. And we had this really huge project and for this customer, but they had a very tight deadline due to some court case, the court case and all this.
Sure.
So the only way I decided, the way we could do this is if everybody agreed to it, because this is the only way it would succeed, is if we subcontract some of the work out to a competitor. They worked for us, and they agreed to the confidentiality, and if the customer was okay with it, that we were going to subcontract some of this work out, et cetera, then we did it. Everybody signed, everybody behaved in a very professional way. We got it done for the customer. I had a competitor as a subcontractor, and of course, they made sure that they did really good work because they did not want their work going to a competitor and looking shoddy, so the customer ended up really having a really good situation on their hands.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, so anyway, but it was one time that I just kind of thought outside the box and made use of a competitor. So,
yeah.
So that's kind of, when I saw that Microsoft-Google cooperation thing, that came to my mind. The other thing is, I don't know if you saw this, but this was on the Register, which is a very humorous British IT website. You'll never guess, Tony, who Microsoft, they just inked another Android royalty deal.
Oh, they did.
Guess who with? You will never guess.
Nokia.
Well, not Nokia, but it's as big as Nokia.
I don't know.
Dell.
Really?
Yes, can you believe it?
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know they were running anything with Android on it.
I think Dell has, I think they've got some tablets or some other devices that run Android, some Android code apparently.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then I think Microsoft signed off on something else or with them, so they've got some kind of mutual mutual assured destruction going on there.
Sure.
But yeah, so I saw that. It really caught my eye on one news item. And then there was another one, too. I don't know if you've been following this, but last week it became known that the new head of the Mozilla Foundation apparently had contributed to, I guess it was Proposition 8 in California, which was the that marriage proposition that the voters passed, which is marriage is between a man and a woman, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And so he had contributed to that. So his workers and others, they were all in a tiz over the fact that he had done this. And then he's backtracking and posting this stuff on the blog. Two people from the board apparently have stepped down in protest.
Really?
Yeah, so he's trying to say how he's very inclusive. And so, yeah, so there's quite a bit of intrigue going on there at the Mozilla Foundation, I guess, Firefox folks. So yeah, I saw that yesterday and thought,
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see how you can be...
if you're going to contribute, if you're going to do that, you better keep your mouth shut, because it's kind of like, see, companies that, companies run the gamut. You've got companies who support liberal causes, you've got companies who support conservative causes,
mm-hmm.
but if you're going to do those kinds of things, you got to know that if you're going to put it out there, people are going to take sides, and you're going to lose customers, and, you know, maybe
right.
maybe that's fine for you, and maybe it's not, but I just say, you're in business to do business, just leave it at that.
Yeah, really. And if he's, it wasn't Mozilla or Firefox contributing, it was just the guy, the new, it.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
So, but it did create quite a stir in the Mozilla land, the land of the Mozillas.
All right.
So anyway, but those are my three news items.
It's been so busy this week. I haven't had a chance to look through the news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember back to what a couple other people were talking about, but
there was, well. On my Google Plus stream, I posted a couple things. BSD Talks, because I always like to talk a little bit about BSD.
Sure.
They just released a new podcast episode. And, of course, BSD Now is on a weekly schedule, and they just released their podcast that they recorded last week. And what was kind of nice about that one, because I listened to them right away because, you know, I'm running BSD on my laptop, is that they interviewed someone from the documentation side of the house, and he's a programmer, but he's also he also handles the documentation or is heavily involved in it. And what was really kind of cute about it, what was entertaining about it is that he had these little cards that he held up, as far as, they had these little sayings on them, little documentation sayings about redundancy, and they were little cartoons with little sayings. It was very clever the way he did it. And, so this was episode 30, and actually, just to share a bit more on that, it was, I'll tell you who it was. It was Warren Block. And he's from the FreeBSD documentation project. So if you're just interested in, the world of documentation, I've always been interested in documentation, because I think if you have a software program, a project or whatever, and you really want people to use it, to be involved, have good documentation. There's just no getting around it. So.
All right.
So anyway, that's pretty much what I've got.
One thing I did hear about this week is that there's some CMSs mm-hmm. that get hacked, and then
WordPress.
Well, they said they didn't specify all of them, but one of them was called Typo.
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Yeah, and when there's a specific like if you go straight to the website, you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody Googles it and it has a referral code in that link when you go to it,
mm-hmm.
then it pops up this other banner or something that you shouldn't be seeing, you know. And
mm-hmm.
and it made me remember that a couple weeks ago, maybe it was a couple months ago, that one of our listeners said that they thought they were seeing spyware on our website or malware.
Oh, yeah.
And it made me think about that. I wonder if, you know, if that happened to us. But I've gone through and done a couple updates since then, mm-hmm. and I haven't seen anything after that.
Okay.
And now I'm trying to look up that link where he was talking about. It was Fab on the Linux Outlaws. He mm-hmm. writes for the Heiser, the H.
H Online?
The H Online.
He used to.
Yeah, he still does.
I thought they... I thought they stopped.
He was working. He stopped writing Linux only stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he's doing more on you know, just general tech stuff. And he's living in Germany again, so he's no longer in the UK.
Uh huh.
So he's he was talking about how he wrote up an article about that.
All right.
And I don't know if I can bring up just his stuff on H Online or not to see. But anyway, there's yeah. So that's pretty interesting. And I've done updates since, like I said, and I hope everything's been fixed. But if you're still seeing it, definitely let me know.
Yeah, and the other news thing, and I forgot about this, I saw this a couple of days ago, is that Microsoft has released Office for the iPad.
Oh, I heard they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess. I mean, if you're an iPad person, you need Office.
There you go. Now you're set.
Yeah.
That, but to me, that's a major acknowledgement. But it's also, it makes practical business sense because in the corporate world, they've pretty much standardized on the iPad. Yeah, Google devices Android devices are there, but the iPad... I look at our software and some of the products that we have, and they've, you know, the mobile device is the iPad. So the fact that Microsoft now is ported Office to the iPad makes really good business sense.
Yeah.
If I remove my personal biases, of course. But anyway, yeah, so something I wanted to talk just a wee bit about. So.
All right.
So I guess that's all I've got.
Yeah, that's all I have, too.
Tools from the Toolbox.
That's right, tool tip this week.
Uh-huh.
And Matt is out.
So you all are thinking we don't have anything wrong.
That's right. So Mary looked something up a few days ago. And
yeah, and what it's called, and some of you, I'm sure that some of you are familiar with it already. Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to bring up. And it's called Multitail. Now, I was not familiar with it, I will confess. However, I have had on occasion a need to take a look at log files, to monitor log files, that type of thing. You know, if I plugged in a USB device, it doesn't get recognized, or if something else is going on, I'd like to go in and take a look and find out what happened there. Well, anyway, I've used the tail command, and you know, with some of the options, and then the log name, and I've gotten, you know, I've been able to take a look. But when you're administering servers or a number of different machines, you may need to take a look at more than one log. So,
yeah.
And do it in a window, in a single window, and that's what Multitail lets you do. You can just bring up a single terminal window, and it's NCURSIS based, so it's, you know, not going to be fancy looking, but you know what? It gets the job done.
It does. Yeah, I can see how this can be handy if you're trying to look through some you know, Apache logs,
mm-hmm.
and you want to line that up with your SQL logs or something.
Mm-hmm.
You can
yes.
put the two next to each other and scroll through them and see, you know, compare time to time to see what's going on.
Yeah, and what's really nice about Multitail, is how you can organize it. They provide you, I think by default, it's going to come up stacked. So you'll have, you know, stacked vertically. So at the bottom, mm-hmm. you'll have one log, and then on top of that, you'll have a second log. However, with a couple of options that you include as part of the command, you can then turn it from kind of a vertical stack there to a horizontal, horizontally arranged into two columns, for example.
Yeah, side by side.
Yeah, and not only that, but if you've got like three or more, then you can have one where you've got a column, and then on the second column on the right, you can have like two or three that are stacked.
Yeah.
So it's very, very nice. And they also have a few other commands, too, and this is, I went ahead.
Side by side, it's the option is dash S, mm-hmm. and then you can say two
split
for two columns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what you do is you do multi-tail dash S2, and then the name of the first log, space, then the name of the second log, mm-hmm. and then it'll show them both there right next to each other.
Yes.
Or you can do that with dash 3, or the S3, and it'll show three of them. Yeah, this site, it's on TechMint, is talking about that, and it gives a bunch of the different options where you can, and it shows the examples. That's what I really like about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, and I had gone out and when I was doing my research on it, because, you know how it goes. You're looking for one thing, and then something else catches your eye, and that's what happened here, and I thought, multi-tail? And
yeah.
So then one of the sites was this one. I also went out to the site for the guy that developed it, and that site, of course, is useful, but this what I really liked about this one, Tony, is exactly what you said. The TechMint site shows a number of screenshots with the various options in place, so you can and with the command in order to produce it that way. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, too, and we haven't really talked about it, is it's merging two files into one window with different colors. And the TechMint site, yeah, it's that number 6 there on the list at TechMint, but you can see there that you can include both of them in the single window.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that would be really good. You can tell which one is which mm-hmm. log, and it puts them in line to each other.
Yep. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, so that, depending on what your need is as far as checking and reviewing logs, that can be very helpful.
You know, there's one option that's showing the L option. You can run a command.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
You can look at the log and, like, say, follow the log in one window and you run a ping or something else in the next window, and you can see what happens as time goes by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So whenever it stops responding to the ping, you can look up at the log and see what...
Without having to Alt-Tab or to rearrange windows, you know, to do it that way, or you've
exactly.
got one terminal. So
yeah.
Yeah, so when I saw that, I thought, wow. You know, I didn't know what we were going to talk about today, but I didn't think we'd necessarily talk about this today, but
sure.
You know, with
worked
Matt,
out.
Yeah, with Matt being gone. So I also they also have a very good man page too, and multi-tail should be in most distros repositories. I basically went out and just did an apt-get install, and it was in the Ubuntu/Kubuntu repositories, and
yeah. It's also in the Red Hat repositories also.
Yep. So, and that covers, you know, that should cover probably most distros.
Yeah, quite
probably
a few.
You can build it from source, I suppose, too.
Yeah, for other ones. I don't know mm-hmm. if Arch would have it or not, but mm-hmm. I'm sure they would.
Arch
yeah.
has everything. So, but yeah, it's called Multi-Tail, and we'll have a link to the TechMint site in the show notes so you can take a look at what we saw.
Yeah, that's very cool. So, yeah. It reminds me of a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Having multiple windows, and you can do the same thing. We can split up windows like that.
Yeah.
But it's nice having it. You can run it all from one command line and have it all, or one mm-hmm. A single line command and have it all show up how you want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome. All right, what are we doing next? I'm going to resurrect Is It Alive one of these weeks.
All right.
Surprise you guys. Oh, you know what's coming up.
What's that?
April Fool's Day.
Oh, yeah, in just a few days.
Yeah.
Hmm.
See if Matt, I think I'm going to do something for the... Oh, and you know, when are we recording?
That's right. The next time we're recording is next Saturday morning. It's only 1 week away.
Yeah, due to schedule constraints.
That's right. In a few weeks, where our normally scheduled show would be, I have to be in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of
you're not letting Matt and I try to do the show. You know, that's the recipe for disaster. Technical disaster. Matt and I, we can carry on the conversation, but you haven't seen us. We're trying to figure stuff out, and that's kind of brutal. But we got through it.
That's right.
We live to talk about it.
But anyway, it'll be 1 week away. But then that also puts us on schedule to have a show at PenguinCon. So that's pretty nice.
Oh, good.
So on the 5th is the next time we're going to be talking. And I went through and created events for it also already. And I accidentally did it under my own name instead of under SMLR. So I think I'm going to just end up resharing the SMLR or my stuff on the SMLR page.
Oh, did you see what Chatter just posted?
No.
Canonical announces toolbar.ubuntu.com Ubuntu toolbar. Really? Mm. Okay.
I wonder what that is. Let's do Googling.
Well, usually, you know, when they release their LTS version, there's usually something. Wasn't Unity released as part of an LTS version, I think? Anyway, my point is that they usually will do something kind of major. So anyway, Chair, thanks for sharing that. Tony is pulling that up.
Toolbar.ubuntu.com is not a valid URL.
Well, why don't you just put toolbar.ubuntu.com in there? Get rid of toolbar and Ubuntu. Well, you had it in there. Yeah, there you go. Because you already had it in there. Now, if that is a Mary T, general availability next Tuesday. Oh, okay. All right, I see.
What, it gives them the availability to customize?
Yeah, it's general availability next Tuesday. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Wait a second, though. Wait a minute. This is a trick. Chatter, is this a trick because it's April Fool's Day?
You know, Google's always done the April Fool's thing, so that'll be interesting to see what they're going to do this year. You know, in the past, they've done...
I can't remember.
The TP Internet.
Oh, yeah.
TP ISP.
He said it. Next Tuesday is... all right. Very funny. All right, well, you got us, Chatter, because Tony was typing, and I was...
That's right.
I was thinking, yeah. But not for very long, though. All right, well, let's see. What are we moving on to, though?
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line, and that number is 313-626-9140. I got a couple. I pulled a couple things out. I didn't. I hope you got the rest of them.
Yeah, I've got my email here.
Okay.
We have a few where we got some feedback from your review last week.
Mm-hmm.
And let me bring.
And
that
it wasn't
email
someone
up.
Asking me to stop doing it.
Right.
No, I think they wanted me to do like a comparison. Two of them, and kind of compare them or something. Which I think is kind of intriguing, except I'd have to try to find a unique angle to it so that it would be set apart. Maybe just the mere act of doing it in that way would set it apart, but I think it would take a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, Peter Snacks, SNAX,
oh, yeah.
He says that he doesn't know what caused the problems that you're having with that review.
Mm-hmm.
Starting by default.
Yep.
But while installing, you should not do an automatic update.
I think that's what I did.
Yeah, do it with the installed system. And installing the Broadcom Wi-Fi driver is easy as going to the settings menu and choosing additional drivers.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I think that's probably where I went awry. I tried to load up too many things at once. Or when I say load, I mean, you know, install and then do the updates.
Yeah.
I usually try to do that, and I think that created the problem for me.
Right, and he's talking about the TextTrans.
Yeah, the translation distro.
Yeah.
Which I liked. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And I think everybody heard that next week I'll be looking at Legacy OS. So. All right. What? You know, did you see the inquiry we got for toolboxes?
No.
Yes, we got one from Jeff Wilson, and usually when we get these kinds of crazy posts, oh, you've got the greatest blog in the world, I'm so glad I found it, which we, of course, then know is spam because we're not really a blog, we're a podcast that happens to post our stuff in a blog.
Yeah.
But what Jeff asked, he says, hi, my name is Jeff Wilson, and I would like to know if you carry toolbox liner mat.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
we carry a mat.
Right.
We carry them each week. No, I'm just kidding. Matt carries himself. And we do have a toolbox. And so he must have Googled those, and our website came up.
Yeah.
For sale. If yes, reply me back with your website so I can select the one that I'm interested in purchasing from your company. Also, I will recommend a freight company for the pickup. Hoping to hear from you soon. Thank you, Jeff. I think I need to respond to him and just say, thanks for your inquiry, Jeff, but here's how you found us. The toolbox is really a software toolbox, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because when the name matches the email address, you know it's a legit one.
Yeah, I suppose.
I think it is.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to respond, then
I will. Ahead. I will.
The next thing we have is from Scott Dowdle. He says that he's about halfway through or 30 minutes into the show. And
I'm sure
Mary,
he's finished it by now, though, right?
Right. But Mary was talking about how she was going to get Ubuntu, or she had Ubuntu on her netbook, and she wanted to get Kubuntu on there.
Yep.
And he says, why not just install the KDE on there instead of going through and wiping and reinstalling?
And you know, it's funny because I started to do that before that email came in, and he's absolutely right. It took me a little while to get to that conclusion, but he's right, and that's what I ended up doing. But, of course, you heard me talk about earlier, I ran into a little problem last night when I was trying to do some other stuff with it and
yeah,
ended up having to recover, but it was pretty slick, the recovery. So.
You're right.
So thanks, Scott. Thanks for the suggestion. I got there a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Our next one came in was from Christian. And Christian was saying how we had no logo along with our RSS feed and like what podcatchers would pull.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it's just like this blank spot, like a black hole.
And I said, that is our logo.
No, but what happened was I was doing a little bit of cleanup on the file system of our website. And mm-hmm. I deleted a folder. Didn't realize that the logo was inside that folder.
Mm.
So I went through and made a couple changes and re-uploaded the logo, and it should be working now. So if you guys are still having a problem where the logo doesn't show up right, go ahead and either, you may have to refresh the feed or mm-hmm. Remove the feed and add it back in, depending on the podcatcher you're using.
Okay.
Let's see, what else do we have? So we talked about the logger.
Yeah.
Oh, Christian got back, said within just a few minutes of me doing that, that was already showing up for...
Oh, good.
So, and he uses Podkicker Pro.
All right, that's good. Oh, I'm looking back through the chat. Tim's your aunt. DOD dummy says, Tim's your aunt.
Oh, yeah.
That's close to Bob's your uncle.
That's funny.
Oh, thanks, DOD dummy.
And then you know what else? I was in the chat when I was messing with testing the mm-hmm. Our bot.
Yeah.
Then Scott also came back, said, he said, botsturbation, dot, 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 the act of constantly playing with your bot in public. So that was
funny.
Yeah, thanks for that, Scott.
Yeah. I was like clever plays on words.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
I think that's it for listener feedback.
Okay.
I'm going to put that into the channel.
Okay.
But I was doing a lot of testing and playing with it, and so that was, it was poignant. It was funny.
Featured music of the week.
All right, so the music I chose this week is not from Jamando. It is Creative Commons.
Okay.
But we're going with some funk music. Rogue.
What kind of music?
The T-Bird and the Breaks. It's funk.
All right. I like funk.
Never get out of this funk.
Alive.
So tired. I had me a good little job, but I got fired. You know, it feels like hucking second labor, just trying to make ends meet. It's time to scoot, you can have my seat. I'm gonna beat these feet towards easy street with my hoodie on.
Hey, can you train Nancy to, when somebody joins our channel, to post out the live audio stream?
I can tell Nancy to... I can have her do a welcome.
Yeah.
You know, I tried that, but I don't think it's working.
Okay.
No, what it is, you can say tell, and then asterisk.
Okay.
And I thought that would tell anybody that came into the channel, you know, and so I tried that, and but it responded to me, and it didn't respond, hasn't responded to anybody else coming out of the channel.
Okay.
So I don't think that is working.
I guess not. All right. It was just a thought. Just for people who join later and who don't realize that there's an audio,
Right. So. There's a way to have it do a countdown, you know,
okay.
to say we're going live in 10 minutes and then in 10 minutes and it gives
then we better go live
also.
When she says.
Right.
Oh, resetting.
But there's a couple other things. I don't know. There's a lot of neat stuff. I have it on our IRC page on our website. I have info about our bot.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Are we? I guess we're kind of getting to the end of the show.
Yeah, I think that's it.
This is a short, concise show. Of course, you'll be frantically retrieving the audio off YouTube.
It's going to work. No,
it did work. I think
I'm
just giving you a hard time.
Anyway, so you've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is Tony Bemis.
And Mary Tomich.
And this was episode 122.
Happy birthday, TRS-80 Model 100. 31st birthday.
Yeah. All right.
So have a good 2 weeks, and we'll see you on a fortnight.
Actually, it's going to be 1 week this time.
Oh, my gosh. Screw that up.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Haunty Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Linux Luddites is a show where we try out all the latest free and open source software and then decide we like the old stuff better.
More than just news and releases, we check out a wide range of Linux distros, cover your feedback, talk about obscure command line programs, discuss burning issues over a pint, and much, much more. So join me, Paddy,
and me, Joe, every 2 weeks for news, reviews, comment, and generally being grumpy at linuxluddites.com.
Linux Luddites, because not all change is progress.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.